Let's run to him, okay? Say, Father, let me see the awesomeness of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. Because I remember my day of Pentecost, where I felt flooded. Totally flooded with his presence. Drunk in his presence. Unable to function normally. Because of him. A couple days ago, I went to you with Acts chapter 2. I want to skip over to Acts chapter 3 so that you can catch a glimpse of your future. In Acts chapter 3, I kind of want to skim over this, starting at verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. If you notice, he was put there every day to beg. So Jesus had to be seeing this man for at least from the time he's a boy through his growing years, because he went there what? Every day. And when they saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." Now, why look at them? Because I believe Peter is giving this man a word of knowledge. Inside of us is the Holy Ghost. Because it was new to them. They were still reeling from the experience that they had had on the day of Pentecost. So Peter wants his attention to be on them, not on his need. Got it? Because when I'm looking at all my needs, I'm not going to see the magnitude of God. I'm going to see how deprived I've been, how abused I've been, and it's all about me. And this man is crippled and he needs some money. Verse 5. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. The expecting is important. There are times that you pray without expecting. That's like praying without faith. Using your faith to believe that you have received, it will be done unto you. If you simply pray, "Oh God, I thank you for your healing me," that would be fine. But when you decide to get serious, he'll decide to be serious with you. Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to be sitting begging at the temple gate, called Beautiful. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us? As if by our own power or godliness, we have made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name or his nature and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him. As you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders." It's important that you recognize this comment because he's not blaming them. He's letting them know they've been used. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the times comes for God to restore everything." I want to stop there. I believe we're at that time when restoration is going to manifest. And there's a stirring in every single one of us to mature and get ready. When Peter and James and John were with our Lord for 3.5 years, he was preparing them for this experience. Are you ready? Will you be able to speak up when it's time to speak? Will you be prepared to let somebody look at you and get them to see Jesus in you? I know this is a prodding question, but if you're on a guilt trip, or if you're on a poor me trip, whoever's looking at you is going to see you. But if you're on a Christ trip and you've spent time with Jesus, they're going to see
Jesus.
And they will be healed. So you see, there's an utmost important reality that I believe he's trying to get us to see. Some of these visions are showing you we're getting closer. When it's not all about me, and it is more and more about him manifesting himself through us, the signs and wonders that you read about here will be happening here. You've already had some. You know, how many ever remember Vicki Jameson coming into New England? Mm-hmm. Put your hand up. Okay. I have two cousins that were, let's say, able to come with me to see Vicki Jameson in Providence, Rhode Island, in a black church. And my wife and I and these two young men came with us. And they were both very young. and quite cocky about the things of God. Attitude plus on both of them. And my wife and I had already been several times. And we had watched, and we had seen, and we had actually witnessed the anointing in this woman. So, we get to the church. We're a little bit late. It's a huge church. We were actually in the back balcony, way up in the back. And this nephew is now, actually, he's really my nephew, but I always called him my cousin because we were very close in age. And he was our babysitter. So, whenever Irene and I would leave, he would be the one that would come and visit with us. He's lived with us for quite a while when his father had a heart attack. And maybe a year and a half, 2 years. So he was very accustomed to us. He said, "I can't believe this. This doesn't make any sense." Well, he had a sore leg. And obviously the Holy Ghost used Vicky to point to him and say, "Somebody up there, way up there, is having a healing in their leg and you need to come down here." "Well, I ain't going down," he says. I said, "Well, I'll go with you." So sure enough. And of course, there's people falling under the power of God. And his unbelief was being dealt with. Okay? Now, I'm not exaggerating. The stage area or the platform area where the ministry was going on was about the size of this area here, and then it went down maybe 4 feet. Well, he's in front of me, so he's being called forth, and so he goes up towards her. He never made it more than 3.5 feet from her, and he went flying in reverse. And he landed in the corner on the floor. And I'm looking at her, and she just kind of pointed to me, and of course I went under the power as well. But I didn't go flying, but he went flying. I mean, I saw him flying literally through the air. So, what am I saying? We get in the car to come home. That really didn't happen to me, Kim, right? It really didn't happen, did it? I said, "If you think I'm going to talk about you behind your back, you've got news coming." I said, "But however," we didn't have videos in those days. I said, "If there was a movie of you flying, I could have taken one because you went flying. But it can't be true, right?" Wow. I said, "You're laughing, but, you know, in reality, I was no different than that kid, except I had seen more." Okay? "Are you ready for the next level?" Okay, he's gone. He actually married a few years later and had 2 sons. And a few years after that, his little boy, 8 years old, went home from a wedding early with his grandmother. And 3 people got killed. Mm-hmm. And his little boy was killed instantly. Oh. Along with his grandmother. In Stafford Springs, Connecticut, right on the road, Route 32. It so crushed him that within, I'm not sure exactly, it's probably 1.5 to 2 years, he came down with cancer and he passed. It literally destroyed him. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that if we had the ability to go forward in the anointing of Vicky, because she was in a pre-runner or forerunner. She came to New England, and I remember how it was difficult for her to come up into New England because of the witchcraft. And she made it very clear, "Pray, because otherwise I may not be able to return." Okay? And as many times as she came back, we tried to come. In fact, I believe you got healed over here in Chicopee, correct?
Actually, no. In Springfield, I got healed. I got saved in Chicopee.
You got what?
I I got saved in Chicopee.
Saved in Chicopee. Okay. Well, that we were there in Chicopee at Bellamy School, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And I got healed at what do they call it? The auditorium?
The auditorium downtown?
Civic Center?
Not the Civic Center.
The Symphony Hall.
Symphony Hall. Yeah, right. I didn't go to Symphony Hall. Yeah. I went here. Yeah. But what I'm trying to tell you is we've had samples, okay? And what God wants to do is a lot more than samples. He wants us to give, some space in our thought patterns of the things he's prepared and what he's registered in us in his Son. And by his Holy Spirit, we've got a job to do down the road. And we need to be prepared to go forward in obedience. So if you'll close your eyes and say,
Lord Jesus,
prepare me.
Prepare me.
I am your sanctuary.
I am your sanctuary.
Your Holy Spirit is alive.
Fully alive in me.
And he wants to work through me. He wants to set the captives free.
Heal the broken ones.
And restore the crippled.
And recreate
these that are needing
a miracle from God.
Thank you, Lord.
That this season
is our time to prepare. We won't waste it. In Jesus' name,
we pray.
We pray.
We pray.
We pray.
We pray.
We pray.